Batman, Batman, will somebody tell me what kind of a world we live in when a man dressed up as a bat gets all of my press? This town needs an enema. Happy New Year on DC Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
Happy New Year, guys!
Happy New Year, knock it out there.
Sure, there you go.
Yeah.
Special guest gets no mug until you've been vetted through at least the trial of three shows, my friend. Don't think that you get a Popcorn Network branded beverage on your
three birth. Shows and a list of YouTube comments.
Who do you think you are? I'll tell you who we think he is. We are joined by a very special guest today, Corey Gibson. You can find him on Twitter at Gibson Kage. Explain what that means.
Kage is short for Kageyama. It's a
being
really
badass
into
samurai.
Ninjas growing up. Yeah.
Oh,
ninjas
and listen samurai. To this guy who's
badass.
Joining us on DC Movie News. Welcome, 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 Corey. Happy New Year. How are you doing, man?
I'm all right. Just beginning of the year is. Time to go back to school and all of that.
Oh, he's got school too. He's Melbourne.
Yeah. Got school and all
of
this.
Yeah, I remember those
so
days.
So Corey's relation to the show, he actually...
It's an awesome relationship.
So it's a fandom,
you
right?
You watch the
show? Yeah,
you listen to the show?
I watch. I'm a film student and I was like, hey, I need an internship, so let me hit these guys up.
Yeah, you reached out to me. I think you threw an email. I got an email somehow. And I passed it on to the team here, the producers here, and they brought him on as an intern.
Yeah.
And then with my show that I do, Character Corner, that was one of my producers, and we did the whole big, God, I think we had 10 of them we tried to knock out at once, and he brought you on, and you were editing all those, so all of them that are coming out now, that's all your handiwork.
Oh, yeah,
so I have a great thank you for you, and I think it's awesome that you help us out like that.
Yeah.
So definitely, you're a fan, and here you are, now you're on the panel. Look at this.
Yeah, it's a little...
He's nervous, guys. Go easy on him. Go easy
Look
on
at
him.
This. Bring
I remember my first time. I was all nervous, but...
Yeah. I'm very excited to be here. So sorry that the crown jewel of DC Movie News, Roxy
Jose's
Schreier...
Jose's upset. He's like, no, Roxy, boo.
No, Roxy. I'm sorry if we lost you. You're going to have to deal with Corey. Johnny LaCosta was also out of the country. Is he with the troops
somewhere,
again?
Somewhere.
Somewhere for
2 weeks now.
I think probably with the troops. How was your Christmas? How was your New Year's? I mean, it was your holiday, man.
Hey, man, it's my thing. I'm still going strong. I love the holidays still. You know me, Mikey Christmas, what it is. I still got a good week left, I think. I didn't take my tree down. My lights are still up.
And you're loving it.
Yeah.
You're rocking.
I've
And no rush.
I muscled through a cold through it because everyone at work was sick.
A lot of people had that cold.
Yeah, everything got it, but I got through that. I had a great Christmas. Everyone's healthy and happy in my friends and family in my life. So it was a great holiday. Great holiday.
That's awesome. New Year's was good?
New Year's, I didn't really drink because I was on the antibiotics.
Oh,
how about you? What
you were getting over.
Yeah.
Well, I had a friend that was opening a restaurant in town, and then I had a big New Year's Day party, which I invited you to, but I guess you were sick. Did you not get the invite to that? I had
They were talking about I was fighting that cold, but knocking that thing back.
I did a lot of fried chicken. I Instagrammed about it. I was into this idea of sous-ving and doing fried chicken. And,
sous-ving.
It's a method of cooking, and this is a little teaser for the Blue Apron that you know is coming later. But so it was like a method of doing fried chicken where it's like slowly cooked in a bag, and then you just take it out and you bread it and you fry it, and then it's like very crispy but also incredibly moist. It's a whole thing.
That sounds delicious.
It has nothing to do with DC Movie News, which is why you're joining us here today. Thank you very much for joining us today on DC Movie News. That is, of course, Mike Kalinowski.
That I am.
I am Adam Gertler, and it's so good to be here in 2017, you know?
It feels like I haven't been here in a while. I mean, Roxy and I closed it out.
I haven't been here in a while.
Because we thought we were going to do one more show after the last one that Roxy and I did, so it was kind of like a bittersweet at the end. We were like, we're not going to be here next week.
And then it fizzled out.
Yeah, New Year's.
Yeah, so that was what happened. A lot of things happen, holidays happen, but everybody's back. But I'll tell you, the first piece of DC Movie News didn't wait... A second. I was like, I woke up on 1/1/17, and it
was
like,
the first. It wasn't it.
It kind of was.
God.
It was like, let's just talk about it since we're here.
I think it's going to dominate what we're talking about today.
Well,
much.
You know, listen, we're going to talk a lot about Batman today, for good and bad, and you know, we're very excited to hear what everybody in the chat role has to say. Everybody's got a lot of opinions. You know, throughout the past months, Affleck's been given interviews. DC press, Warner Brothers, Brass has been talking. We mentioned it on the show. We talked about
Yeah.
Several weeks ago, I posed the theory that, like, there's kind of a stalemate going on between Affleck and the studio, it seems like. It just seems like there's disinformation or different information. And so I posed the thing where I said, you know what? Affleck could walk away. He's not signed
to do this
movie. Now,
I was not here that episode.
You were not here that episode.
And everyone's upset. You should have been there to defend it. But then I watched the episode, watched what you said, and the next episode where you and I were on together, I kind of I had your back, and I just think the people out in social media took it the wrong way, what you were saying. You were very looking at it from a logical standpoint, and not a DC sucks, he's going
to
leave it.
No. All I'm seeing is, like, it looks like, you know, it comes to a point, and it's almost like a game of chess, where it's like there's, you know, like both players like have a position right here, and it's like Ben Affleck is in a place in his career with what he's done where he is not going to walk into a situation where he does not feel like success is going to happen. And DC / Warner Brothers is in a position where they want to have a Batman movie in a theater by a certain time. And neither side is necessarily wrong.
Right.
But when you also consider DC / Warner Brothers' larger interest of a combined universe and many more movies, and not just a Batman movie.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, it's
so
it's
their
not
interest is in many movies, which gives them a vested interest in Affleck's movie, which now is taking place in this universe, which we've established.
Right.
So you can kind of see where they're, I mean, it's not about butting heads. It's not about right and wrong. It's about where do the interests sort of lie? Like, if Affleck and John, say, had a story that they wanted to tell, and I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if there's, you know, a difference of opinion between Jeff Johns and Affleck with the way that the film wants to go. But you're thinking about a lot of things here. What do you think, Mike? Jump in. I'm not trying to be a negative guy.
No, you're not coming off as negative. I'm just trying to lay it down. I think you said it best. There's two sides. There's the studio, which is a business. They want to make money. They know that this is their billion-dollar cash cow.
Yeah.
This Batman franchise. Of all these films, that movie's going to make the billion.
It's been consistent for them.
I think it will. I mean, that's their guy since 89. Yeah. But then you've got Affleck, who's a director, and he's an artist. So you've got the show and you've got the business here. And they're kind of, they want them both to come together, but it seems like it's interesting because
Kingsport Cal, I don't know. He says that the statements are leverage for Affleck, which is a great way to look at this. So here's a positive way to look at it for a DC fan. You know, Affleck is basically putting his cards on the table, and by being public and by saying these things, he's saying, look, there's no contract signed yet. It's a really smart, cold, cool thing. The guy is worth $100 million. He does not need to kowtow to anybody.
He's WB's golden boy, as far as not even just his Batman films, his directing with his films. He's their golden guy.
So he's basically saying, like, listen, I know you have a time and I want to make this movie, or at least that's how I read it, is that I'm going
to
make this
movie.
He
wants to do it.
But it's not based on a deadline. And Warner Brothers is like, oh, well, hopefully we got Ben making that movie and it's coming out. And, like, I mean, I'm telling you, papers have not been signed on this thing.
And you got to look at it from this standpoint. This guy has been through the ringer. Daredevil comes out. He gets destroyed for that.
Oh, gosh.
He gets cast as Batman. Gets destroyed for that. Comes out in the movie BVS. He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But then the press, remember, he's sitting in that interview. People bash on him for that.
The movie's beaten up more than Affleck is. Affleck actually comes out of that, and believe me,
as the champion.
If Affleck had gotten beaten up more about Batman, I don't know that we'd even be having this conversation.
So, and here
right
he
now
is making a film that
and
was.
And Corey, feel free to chime in. Anytime, see you chomping at the bit.
There's no rules.
Shut up!
There's no rules.
I have an opinion.
We could go all day.
We'll talk.
Okay.
So chime in whenever you want.
Like, what I was thinking, because, you know, as an up-and-coming filmmaker, sometimes you get kind of married to your work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So maybe what he's working on is good enough, and somebody just needs to be like, hey, bro, you know, it's done. Because you can keep writing and keep writing.
So you're saying, like,
that's
as a filmmaker, you're always kind of like, you're never finished with it.
Yeah.
And Warner Brothers is like, no, it's great. We got to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's another way to look at it.
Sure. It's a fairly optimistic way to look at it. That Affleck is writing this ongoing opus that just will never end, and he's just
just like, I'm not done. I don't like this part.
I think what a lot of people have to understand is all these are coming out now because he's in the press for Live by Night.
Right.
And this is a movie. It's a passion project of his. He's directing it.
Yeah.
He wants to talk about that. He's not being a jerk and going, you know what, guys? You're bringing up Batman. I don't want to talk about it. Let's talk about this movie. He knows, and we've talked about this on the show before, anytime these actors come in, no matter what project they're doing, they bring up the superhero film. So he's got to give him something. And he's being good about it.
Everybody in the chat room agrees that, like, in this negotiation, Ben Affleck has the upper hand here.
Sure.
Because if he doesn't make the movie, Warner Brothers can't keep their schedule for whatever. It just makes that movie later anyway.
Now,
and if he does make it, it's still we're still looking at 2019 at the earliest. I mean, there's no way at this point
guys,
we're talking about a 2018
movie. No one more than
me
wants this movie to come out next year. No one more than me wants it to come out in 2018. But I would rather it wait to be phenomenal. I'd rather it beat The Dark Knight for the ultimate. Like, everyone pretty much views The Dark Knight as the quintessential best Batman film.
All right, now, if I had to ask you, would you rather situations?
If I could have my druthers?
If you can have your druthers, like, would you rather see Ben Affleck's ultimate Batman film or a film that ultimately serves the growing DC extended universe? Do you want to see another Batman film that is autonomous? And I gotta say, one of the things about Batman that's so great is that if you take him out of a world of superheroes, he works phenomenally well.
Batman.
Some would argue even better. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so that's kind of why Nolan's films don't exist in a world of heroes that have powers. In fact, none of the other Batman films do.
Yeah, pretty much.
So this is all. This is all virgin territory and forging that. And how do you make this character make sense in a world where you have all these other gods too? It's a tricky thing to negotiate. And it's just, you know, it sounds like the movie that I would think Affleck wants to make is probably smaller and more tense and more mystery, more detective, more the thing that like some of us fans want. And I would think that maybe, again, this is me knowing nothing, but like, Warner Brothers is like, there's other things that do have to be served here, which we saw what that did to the original Ant-Man project.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
So, you know, there's a lot of that going on here.
I think for me, this goes back to, I think Roxy and I were getting into it a little bit, where I don't feel these films need to be in service of the next film. You know, whereas Flash coming out, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, as a like going kind of the opposite of the Marvel way, where every Marvel film, you know, dovetails into the next big phase. Where this, it's just like Batman, they're comic books, just like the comics. You can read Batman, and he's doing something. He's off in Santa Prisca beating up Bane. And then that same week, you'll see him in Justice League.
Yeah.
But they're not, you just know that they're
separate.
Well,
the thing is, Mike, you have to make the decision then if that's what you're going to do, or
and
if you're going to do the connected universe.
And
you have to make the decision.
It's still connected. The tissue is still there.
Right.
But it's not, you're not having Flash pop up in Batman Solo's film.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, do I think Affleck's going to walk away from this? No. I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't. But it's just funny that we've talked about that, and then, like, you know, this comes out. Here's the thing. The comment that really has got to make you, you know, give you pause, and I know people want to downplay this and say, oh, it's not a big deal, and it's like, it's a lot of clickbait, but he said it's not a set thing. Like, that's a really dismissive sort of phrase.
Now,
and it's a turn of phrase for a writer, not a set thing.
But
like, it's a weird thing to say.
There's something I got to pull up. You guys keep talking. I'm going to pull something up.
Okay, Corey, please chime in on that.
A set thing as in,
well, that was
2018?
In the most recent interview with, what was it, Empire or Guardian or what was it? What was the article in? It was the recent interview with Affleck, and he had said that, yeah, it's not a set thing, and the script still isn't right, which is kind of the same thing we've been hearing for a while now. But also, we've been hearing that we're going to be shooting this movie, and we've heard actors say we're going to shoot this movie, and we've heard studio executives say we're going to shoot this movie, and then we've heard Affleck say, like, yeah, that's the idea, that's the hopeful thing, I want it. I mean, look at all the statements Affleck has made since the beginning of this, and they are nothing if not mamby-pamby. Like, he is not a definite person. He's not a guy grinning from ear to ear saying, I can't wait to make Batman, it's going to be amazing. Like, I mean,
it's kind of hard, like, as a filmmaker, you don't want to say you're doing something and then you pull back or change the date. And because, you know, a lot of movies say, it's going to come out on X date, and then it gets pushed back.
So don't you think that if Warner Brothers really had this guy's back, wouldn't they just kind of all kind of just agree to kind of keep it quiet and, like, kind of just, I don't know, just kind of, like, solidify the narrative, you know?
Right.
Like, the rhetoric is just, it's very public and it's very weird.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not what we've seen from places like Marvel Studios or even Fox, really. You know, like, they kind of keep a company line, but I'm wondering if
I'm not finding it.
Because Warner Brothers is trying to do this weird thing where they're really trying to make more filmmaker-driven films, but then also tie them together in an effort to, and I certainly commend them for this, to make them different than Marvel.
Right, yeah. They got to go a different way. Let me ask you guys this, because I've been meaning to get your opinion on this. What do you think happens if there just comes to a stop point where Affleck, he's not happy with the script, it's not ready.
Right.
Warner's, you know, guys, we got to go, and Affleck walks.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, what do you guys, your opinions, thinks happens with that? Because I have my opinion.
Wow. If that happens, I think... my first instinct is to say that you recast Batman and you keep all the other players
right
there.
Yeah, yeah. My gut reaction was they reboot. They're done. This DC universe, they hedge their bets, go, okay, BVS wasn't what we wanted to. Suicide Squad, yeah, made whatever,
here's,
but it's not what it is.
Here's the problem.
But I don't think they will, because Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Flash are going.
I don't think it was a great idea to start your universe with a Batman that's already over the hill. I get it from a story point of view, why those are more interesting, but
there's been so many Batman movies. I mean, how many times you can tell a story with the Batman?
How long can you keep this current roster though in films?
Well, I think the thing is, and that was a good thing with Affleck, is they made him older than he really was.
Yeah.
So I don't think in this next film,
so he can play that age for a while.
Yeah, and I don't think in this next film they're gonna harp on his age.
I think
the only good thing, and I think this is a great thing, it gives him the statesmanship to be the leader of the Justice League.
Right.
And it that's a different dynamic. I like that.
Here's the other thing, and I've heard some people mention this. What does this rhetoric imply, if anything, for the state of the Justice League film?
Affleck's thing?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you said this, and I'm trying to think of how I word it, because I was thinking about this the other day. Affleck would not be going so strong on this if he had a crappy experience doing Justice League. If he was if he shot Justice League and was like, oh man, this is just not working. I signed on for this. I got to make this movie. He would not have gone forward to do Batman. He would have been like, you know what? I got my contract. I'll do my films, but I'm not stepping up to help out at all. I think Justice League, from everything we've heard, was a blast.
I don't know. I mean, because here's the other thing is, like, what if he didn't have a good time on it and he's talking about how that's the last film I make? How disastrous would that be if Affleck was talking about, I'm already done before Justice League even comes out? Like,
what do you mean?
Well, I mean, like, if it was...
Off the Batman?
Right. Like, if he was just like, no, I'm not making the Batman. If that was the news now.
That would be, I think, would hurt Justice League.
Yeah.
Immensely.
Immensely. So it's really interesting. Like, there's a lot of...
I really, honestly, guys, and I... Because just the day after this thing comes out, I think it was in Variety, they posted that everything is on track with Batman. Batman. They're okay. They're going.
And then, they talked about, filming locations?
That came out. And then the next day was, they were scouting locations in L.A.
Right.
I think the fact is, I think Affleck's at the point now, he's doing... Live by Night's not out, so he's getting ready to do all the press. He's got to give the fans something. I think we all wish Ben Affleck would go, guys, I can't talk about it. I cannot talk about it. You will know when they want you to know.
This is why it's so effed up, Mike. And I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I have to see it, call it as I see it. It's just like, if you're talking about, like, scouting locations and, like, production dates and everything, and the guy behind the film is, like, the one pulling out the brakes, it's like, you either get behind the guy that's making the film and don't talk about it, like... It's just weird.
Here's to me what I and just being in the industry. I mean, Affleck knows there is to say that there's not a screenplay.
Can you imagine that on a Scorsese film if everyone else is like talking about this movie you're going to make and Scorsese's like, yeah, I don't know if I'm willing to do that.
Yeah, but I mean, Affleck, the bones of a script has got to be there. They've got to know, okay, we need an Arkham Asylum. Okay, we need a Gotham, a police station. And they can go out and scout this. They're not going to... Because then they're not going to be scrambling 6 months from now when that script is ready to go. It's like, shit, we got to go. They're like, okay, we know we need
So it's official pre-production.
Stuff.
It's just official pre-production
stuff. You don't think that they're designed...
Which is why Manganiello, we've seen him in costume.
And Deathstroke, he was in that, what was it, months ago. Because they knew Deathstroke was the villain.
But then again, I'll talk to Corey Gibson as a filmmaker. How intimidating is it when, like, you're getting your costumes built and your sets built and everything's building around the movie because it's been so built, but, like, the core of your story isn't there? Like, that's got to be daunting.
Yeah, I'm sitting in that right now. Because I know what I want. I know where I want to go. But if the story is not right, you put forth all this effort and then you make a finished product and it's kind of falls apart in the process, you know?
Yeah.
Well, here's something. There's a great book out now. It's The Art of Rogue One.
Okay.
And it goes from pre-production with concept designs. There were so many designs of
good
the
movie, by the way.
Great movie.
R.I.P. Carrie Fisher.
Oh, man, that's Jesus. Oh, boy. That was the last 2016 kick in the nuts.
Boy.
Anyway.
Great book.
But they go through all these concept arts of how different the team looked and how far along they got in production or pre-production when it was completely different aliens as part of the Rogue team. Mm-hmm. And then it changed and this and that. But the concept was still there. Nothing changed from that. So I think pre-production, those artists, they got to go on that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Ben Affleck, he's been in the business long enough to know it's par for the course.
I just hope, and let's put a pin on this and talk about some other stuff.
Let's do that.
I hope that what's happening this week is that Warner Brothers and Ben can get together and just kind of like decide how we're going to like deal with this moving forward, and let's get on the same page and like let's get the fans excited about, you know, Wonder Woman and Justice League, and not talking about a movie that's going to happen.
That's
or not
another
gonna
thing.
Happen.
That's another
you know,
thing.
It's like it's a difficult. It's just sometimes things can be so transparent. It's hard to just be a fan.
Though you said this, why do you think that is? We've got three films ready to come out or in production: Wonder Woman, Justice League, Aquaman.
Yeah.
Why so much focus on the Batman right
because
now?
It's just like the media wants to poke the hole wherever they see it. Oh,
that's the
man.
Thing. It's
You're
like,
absolutely right.
That film is so far away. Anyway, we've got three films coming out, you know, possibly four with The Flash.
I mean, and then it's Batman. Everyone cares about
that. That's what I'm
that.
Saying. Exactly. It's their cash cow. It's the billion. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, let's move on.
Okay, so Patty Jenkins talking about Wonder Woman's World War One setting.
Yes.
And why it made sense to set it there. What are you guys' thoughts about this?
I think it's great because, one, it separates from Cap being World War II.
Right.
But I don't know if you guys play video games. I'm playing, what's it, Battlefield 1 right now, which is set in World War I.
Okay.
And playing this game, it's so awesome to see. It's like, oh my God, Wonder Woman's going to be running through this stuff.
Do you wish you had a little Wonder Woman avatar to run through?
I kind of wish I did with that lasso whipping everyone. I think it's a great choice. They could have set it in either one. But they chose to go a different route with it. And we don't see that many World War I films as opposed to World War II. World War II is always the more popular choice.
That's
for
true.
Films.
I'm going to say right now, I rewatched the Wonder Woman trailer, which we're going to take a look at again later in Russian. And like
that's
right
Russian.
Now,
in Russian.
Just that trailer alone is like maybe my favorite DCEU movie right now.
It's great.
There are so many moves that she's making and defying physics and everything that like, you know,
yeah, she's Wonder Woman.
It's really, really wonderful. I mean, in the best way possible. But still, when she walks onto the battlefield.
Mm. Now, because talking about Wonder Woman, I don't think we covered this since Roxy and I think it happened over the holidays. They released a picture of her with the sword.
Right.
And it's called the Godkiller sword.
Yes.
So there's talk that Ares is the villain.
Right. He's, what's his name? The guy
Huston?
That was in the Wolverine. Yeah.
But that's never been officially come out there.
But she saw them fighting each other like one-on-one.
See? I got so much crap for that. I said this in the trailer because she's smashing him up and down with that sword whip. And I was like, there's no way that's a regular soldier. And people are like, well, she might be. With I was like,
yeah,
no,
that's overkill.
That's a trustable man.
I mean, yeah, I mean, if he wasn't a guy, that's kind of overkill.
It's too much.
Yeah. I got so much crap for that
it's
on this panel
much.
For
it's
people. It's like that. I think that's Ares in disguise, in a
I
human
think it
form.
Is too. Yeah, so do you think he'll evolve past that?
I think I would hope so.
Yeah.
But I love that we're not seeing it. Don't pull a doomsday.
Do you think it's going to be a Danny?
Don't show us it.
Don't show us it. Is it going to be Danny Huston, like, CGI Hulk styled?
I hope they mocap. Like, some kind of mocap.
Yeah, but...
But actually, no.
But that's what...
He
I mean,
look
Hulk
human.
Is mocap.
He could look human. Like, just make him a little bit bigger human.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I would like to see. That's what I mean. Like, kind of Hulk, but kind of Danny Huston. Like,
yeah.
That could be cool.
But Ares, yeah, so I think I don't think she really talked much more about that. But
I mean, but so there was the international trailer that was released. So like, we should take a moment of Zen and have a palate cleanser and like check out
a palate cleanser, like
especially
some,
since
like some,
you know
sherbert.
We are inaugurating a president that may or may not have ties close to with a country that
oh,
may
Jesus.
Be an ally. So hey,
let's take a look, shall we?
Yes.
Das. Was that German?
No.
Nein.
Da. Да, нет.
Нет, нет.
Когда-то я хотела спасти мир.
So hot.
Но чем ты к нему ближе?
And just the cinematography in this trailer.
And it's also, you know, when you think about the war movie, but it also de-Americanizes it a little bit.
Yeah.
Которая положит конец войнам. He sounds sexy in Russian. I didn't know Chris Pine spoke Russian.
That's the sword.
And the and the costume.
Мой секретарь, сэр.
Yeah. Oh, that his reaction to that is awesome. The heat, the hot reaction to that is so good. Наша священная миссия.
Этим я собираюсь заняться. I love the music too. Oh.
She's like, in Russia, I wear tiara.
Diana!
Oh, Diana sounds even better than Diana. Look at her. She's so perplexed by that bullet. Isn't that a great reaction to that first bullet? What is this?
She's like, what is this thing supposed to do
that
to me?
That kick. That. And that.
Through just, the and the window. Colors, too. There's so much. The colors are so fantastic.
The freaking lariat.
I hope that is in the film. That theme has got to be her theme forever.
That theme is very Russian sounding, too. Fight? This woman is not fighting. But I'm not opposed to a little bit of fisticuffs. Wow. Hey, so there's that.
I don't know about you guys, but I could not see any new footage that they talked about in there. I don't know.
Some of it looked like it was extended from what we already seen.
Yeah, maybe a second or two, but I was like, yeah.
Not so much, but still good to look
again,
at again.
Clickbait by certain websites.
Yeah, of course. And listen, guys, you know, we want to thank you for tuning into the show. The show is, of course, brought to you free of charge. Yes, it is, actually. It's free of charge. We're not charging people for this fabulous, informative, intriguing broadcast. Nope. But that's because we are brought to you by sponsors like Blue Apron, who I'm sure you've heard plenty about by this point. Mike, you're familiar with the Blue Apron. Corey,
you might not be familiar with it.
Have you tried, Corey, as a listener? Have you ever been, have you ever said, like, you know what, I gotta try Blue Apron?
Yeah, I've been curious about it because I'm one of those guys, I'm lazy to go to the store.
So you would say you've been blue curious, but you haven't actually jumped in yet.
You haven't gone full there.
Well, listen. Yeah. Blue Apron, it's established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, ranchers across the United States. The seafood is sourced sustainably. What this is, it's a way to get meals that are kind of partially prepared. You're still preparing them.
You're still cooking them.
But you're getting all the ingredients, and I can tell you, it cuts, about 80% of the time it takes to prepare a meal, if you include the time it takes to go to the store, get the stuff home, and separate it into the right proportions. Well, like what Blue Apron does is it sends you just the right amount of food that you need for each meal. You can actually go online and sort your menu out. You can choose certain days. There's no obligations. Everything is guaranteed fresh, meaning if you got something that was, rotten and growing mold and actually sent in it inside, like, you would get a full refund. That's, like, just how it's guaranteed, And each of these meals is less than $10 a person.
I went actually to check it out today because every week is a different menu. And they're like, and it's cool because they say, you click on the link and it's like, what are we preparing for you this week? What do we got next week? And they're all the different choices. And I got to say, I'm very picky when it comes to food.
This is how we are different.
Yes,
but okay.
Indeed. I'm a chicken vegetables type guy, I love good food, but I know what I can prepare well. I know what I can't prepare well.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff on this, I was like, oh my gosh, if this is going to teach me how to do this, I'm on board.
Yeah, and the meals we're talking about, so like these are just examples of upcoming menus. Corey, I really trust that you're going to get the sample based on this. Spicy shrimp and Korean rice cakes with cabbage and furikake, okay? That is so awesome. It's progressive.
But the fact that you make it sound awesome, too. You know what you're talking about.
Well, listen,
food.
Listen. These Korean rice cakes, if you've never had them, they kind of look like oval discs, and they have the texture of like rice noodles, if you've ever had like chow fun noodles or Thai noodles. So it's that kind of like soft, really sumptuous like texture of a noodle dumpling. And then furikake is a Japanese seasoning, usually made with sesame and seaweed. And it's got a tremendous amount of umami and flavor. You also got pork chops and garlic piccata with scallion rice and spinach. Green onions and spinach baked into the rice. It's beautiful. And then you get great vegetarian things, but have a tremendous amount of flavor, like mushroom and chipotle enchiladas with lime sour cream. It's all awesome stuff. You can get a free trial by entering the promotion code MOVIENEWS. That's blueapron.com/movie news. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
I got to tell you, because I saw it. It's the best way to prepare a meal for a lady. If you got a date.
Oh, my God. If you got no serious cooking game, don't think that you are. Don't think that you can just go like... you need the training wheels of a Blue Apron type situation. Trust me.
Not to be embarrassed, but that's what I think. It's like, oh, my gosh. You're set. You know, you got a man or a lady you want to...
I will say this.
This thing takes care of it. You're set.
If you're
don't
trying
tell them
to,
it's Blue Apron. You did it.
Thank you. Hide the materials.
Yeah.
Your Blue Apron comes in a great box. Everything is packed. It's cool. It's
put that away.
Get rid of all that. Get rid of the evidence. Put your instructions. Tape them up in places where you can kind of just check them out and just do it like that.
Yeah.
That's totally the way you should do it.
I think I'm going to next week.
Yeah.
The lady friend, and I'll let you guys know how it goes.
So let's talk about other movies that are definitely happening.
Back to the DC.
Yeah, back to the DC world. James Wan is definitely making an Aquaman movie.
Yep.
And he's definitely using the Mad Max
This was what was
Fury
cool,
Road
because they're shooting in Australia. There were some pics, I think this was back in December, though, of the giant water tanks they're building. And now they've got the stunt team that did Mad Max doing this film. Now, if any of you guys have seen that movie... I'm not a big Mad Max fan. Like, I didn't care for the originals. But that movie, the word I use is visceral.
Yes.
And I have friends that were...
It's a good word for it.
They were the boys, the wild boys, whatever they were. One of my friends was one of the drivers in one of those cars.
Yeah.
Worked for like 6 months in Australia.
Way.
Yeah. He's a fantastic stunt driver. But he was one of the guys in those cars. And to know that they did all that practically on set is, again, another vote of confidence for Aquaman. I think that's... And yeah. The fact that what they're going to do, because, I mean, how are we going to do the stunts underwater, like swimming battles and these people that aren't, you know, we swim through water, we look ridiculous. But these Atlanteans, it's going to be amazing what they're going to create. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited to see, like, the practical effects they're going to use, how they're going to actually realize the underwater world, how we're going to be communicating underwater. There's a lot of questions with Aquaman. I wonder if we'll get a hint of it with Justice League. I imagine we will.
Corey, we should have asked you this first. Who's your favorite DC guy?
It's Batman.
All right, there we go. That's easy enough. Now, taking Batman out of the equation, out of all these films we got coming with DC, what are you most excited for?
The Flash.
Flash? Because now, Adam, Aquaman was the one that's got you going the most, right? Because you're
well,
the more
as the
we
movies,
hear,
yeah.
The more
yeah,
we
yeah.
hear.
Well, that was just the one that, like, the casting from the get-go sounded like... I knew from the casting the kind of film that it could be. And then James Wan, and then, like... Even, again, with James Wan last year, one of the stories, like, he was kind of on the fence, too. Like, I feel like James Wan had his moment with WB, too.
Where yeah, but then he posted that picture of him on Twitter with the Aquaman in the background. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about, guys.
I think he got quashed, but where there's smoke, there's fire. And I think there may have been something there. And I think he knows what kind of movie he's going to make now.
Yeah.
I don't know if Ben does or anything else, but I have a feeling that James Wan knows
now
the Aquaman movie
perfect,
he's making.
That is a perfect example. James Wan did go through this.
Yes.
We don't have a script. We don't have a walk.
Yeah.
And now... They're going. Everything's on board. They're hiring all these other actors.
Once you're in, you're in.
So I think Ben is just going through that.
And it doesn't matter
now.
Because once Ben says he is in, then some people think this is gamesmanship on his part. I do not think so. But it's like
I don't
once
think
he
he's
is,
trying to F with Warner
no,
Brothers.
No, he's not. Or the fans.
No.
But once he does, because he said these things, once it's signed and announced officially, we all have to think nothing but, well, if you said that, then we must be getting the best Batman movie that could be imaginable because this, mother effer said he was going to freaking make the movie finally. So that's another interesting thing too. And again, some people have their theories about that. I'm not a conspiracy theorist like
that.
I don't think.
I don't subscribe to that.
But it is very exciting. You excited for Aquaman? I mean...
Yeah, I just don't know what to expect in an Aquaman movie. Like, I'm excited for Aquaman, but I just can't imagine
this
what
is.
I can't either.
I mean, it went to what Patrick Wilson said when he was being interviewed. He's like, 20 years ago, we couldn't do an Aquaman film because of everything. It's like, we're only at the point now where we can do an Aquaman film and do it justice,
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do.
The closest thing I could think of, and maybe this is just because I know that Cameron is doing this with the Avatar sequels, is that something in the Avatar world. Just in the idea of like a completely realized world and moving creatures moving
but
very
that was
differently.
Still,
but I mean, obviously
they
10
were
years
still
later.
On
later
land or maybe in trees.
Yeah.
It wasn't underwater. That is a whole...
I know.
It's not even outer space.
But he's going underwater in
well,
the
outer
sequels.
Space, we have a language, as filmmakers have a language of what people in space, how they react. You know, whether there's no sound, fire doesn't exist, movement is slow unless you have some kind of suit to assist you. We have never seen this kind of underwater, you know, high action.
I mean, maybe they can, you know, like the Injustice games, you know, when you're in Atlantis.
Right.
But there's no water in, like, the temples and stuff.
It's that's
like
what
when
we're,
you go outside, that's where
that's
all
exactly what you're talking
is.
About. Is it going to be like a Phantom Menace where you go through some kind of bubble that brings from the water into a dry area? We don't know. We'll see.
Somebody said, don't What's forget up? To cover the Entertainment Weekly Justice League promo shot. Was there an official Entertainment Weekly Justice
there
League
was,
promo shot? Was that with the chests? Was it that one?
I don't... Is that official?
I thought that was fan art.
I don't know if that's...
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't see it. I'm sorry.
Who wrote that one? Who's writing that?
Don't forget. That was Jose Estrada. Jose.
My chat's a little... I think that was... If it was all the chests with the symbols, I thought that was fan art.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I don't know.
Okay, so here's some more news. One property that we... Many of us believe was never going to happen because we haven't heard anything about
it. Oh, God.
Was Shazam. There's been not a lot of... You amateur. Are you making things ding?
Sorry.
Son of a bee. Shazam! And then what? Was it Christmas or New Year's that we got Henry Cavill or Cavill?
I think it was New Year's. It's recently.
And The Rock.
It's recently.
Sharing like some whiskey and tequila, I believe. I think we have a picture there somewhere. They're saying like, today we drink like men and excited about things to happen in the future, which leads us to believe... Potentially that Superman and Black Adam are to appear in the same films. I'd like to know the opinions of everybody in the chat room, and particularly you gentlemen here. What do you think this means?
Let's go to you. The way they, The Rock keeps talking about his Black Adam, it kind of makes it seem like he's going to show up first before Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So who knows, maybe he'll be in the next Superman movie and then, you know, Billy shows up and he's like, hey, bro, you're doing bad things. I want to beat you.
Interesting.
I don't know. I have no idea. Like,
I love that. I mean, and that's honestly the scenario that I thought most likely. And how cool you introduce Black Adam. And I feel like the way they're talking about him is like he's going to be kind of an anti-hero. But, you know, he's got to be the opposite. He's got to be the villain in Shazam, in that movie. So, I mean, one thing that could happen is it could be the Shazam movie where Superman shows up to mentor Shazam because he's a child in a Superman body. But then you have, Superman in another supporting role before Man of Steel 2? Is this potentially, are we saying that, like, well, we don't know what's going on with this Batman movie, but we're getting this Man of Steel movie green-lighted right quick? And are we going to get an announcement about a Man of Steel 2 before an official announcement about the Batman? This is all just a preview.
Like, again,
this is the first week of 2017, guys. This is all because we only, you know, we still got 5 months before a movie, 6 months before a movie. But
yeah,
we got a lot of announcements and things to look forward to in the next months.
Well, what if Superman is in the Shazam movie?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, potentially. Yeah, he shows up and he's fighting Black Adam, and then Billy Batson shows up and because Superman's weakness is what, magic, right?
Yeah, magic,
potentially.
Yeah.
So he needs someone also magic based to actually beat him, and he helps. I mean,
I just don't know what to think.
I would love a Superman Shazam team.
I don't
movie.
Know. I just don't know what to think of this.
That would be the DC equivalent of like the Deadpool Wolverine team up that they're talking about, like.
Yeah, I'm not.
Superman being the Wolverine in that scenario somehow.
I'm not sure. I don't know what to think of it. I don't.
So you're not going to commit to any movie.
I don't know what to do. I mean,
what about Black Adam showing up in Justice League? Will you give me that?
No.
That's not happening.
I'm not giving you that. Steppenwolf and the Parademons. We got too much going on.
Nothing.
He's not even going to be a teaser in that film.
I don't even know what to think about Shazam in it. Because weren't they talking about putting it in a different universe?
There was a little talk of that where it was just going to be a one-off.
Okay, well, that's a great,
that.
Great point that Corey makes. And I was the first person to say this when they moved Shazam to New Line. But now the guy that was at New Line is now in charge at Warner Brothers. And the other Warner Brothers, the other DC producer, was out.
Really?
Right, yeah. So the New Line guy came over. I'm sorry, I'm bad with these names right now. But so that, and then that picture makes me think that Shazam is indeed going to be in the DC universe. And I think... That probably also happened when they decided to lighten things up. I think that was probably part of that too, right?
Yeah.
Because when they were like, hey, like, no, that's not going to happen, then things have been changed. And I think they're like, we need to get The Rock in here. It's like, that's what they always say. He's franchise Viagra. Not that the franchise is like, but they're like, somebody call The Rock. Let's get him in here one way or another. And Ben Affleck is just like, no, I'm not putting the Black Adam in my Batman movie.
Right, maybe that's the problem.
Guys, hey,
you gotta shoehorn Black Adam in there. He's like,
no,
I can't. It's not going to work.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I'm maybe...
Scott Patterson, my biggest fan next to my mother, says Black Adam will show up in JLA 3. Guarantees it.
Oh, well...
So, The geriatric Rock.
That's like 10 years from now. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, ever since the beginning, for me, I'm not on board with him as Black Adam. I like The Rock. I really do. But he is almost a personality, whereas I don't see an actor. I see The Rock.
Yeah.
You know, so to see him in this film, it's you know.
Well, Mikey Christmas, if you want an argument, you won't find it here.
Okay.
On that front.
I'm not gonna argue with you.
And I also think that some people saying that they were double casting, like he was going to play both Black Adam and Shazam. Like, how terrible would that be?
That would be absolutely awful.
Would you really want to see The Rock fight The Rock in a movie? Like, how stupid would that be?
I like The Rock.
It'd be like a bad Baywatch. I love his movies. Episode.
I think he's a great human being, just the way he talks to his fans.
He's amazing.
And
he's an amazing
but
character.
But I do not think he belongs in the DC universe. I think he's too big of a personality for this series.
I think, okay, I will say this though, and fans of The Rock and Dwayne Johnson will go this. If he can pull it off and play a serious heavy and make it believable, it will be like a career making role for him. It will, I mean, like, not that the guy needs to
say you, I say you find and you do like Batista. You get a guy that's, wrestling, but he's not a personality. And now he's made himself
but,
to Drax.
But would you believe that if he can step outside of it somehow? I mean, like, is the potential there?
I just always want to think that for actors. Yeah. But he's just so larger than life.
Yeah.
He has created this version of himself.
Well, listen, one of my favorite heroes of all time in film is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
You know, in, like, some of my absolute favorite films. And he was in a comic book movie, and that didn't work out so well. Granted, I don't blame Arnold for that. I think Arnold is somebody that only works when he's in the right
Last Action
director.
Hero is a classic.
Oh boy!
Here we go.
That was when it all started to go awry. That was honestly where it really started to go bad. Like, he was batting 1,000, and then Last Action Hero, I think, was just like. But it's,
Last Action Hero was ahead of its time.
Funny,
it was ahead of its time.
It didn't know what it was yet. You're right.
If it would have come out around the time Austin Powers did, about 4 or 5 years later, much better.
Okay, but here's the thing. There was also comments on Dwayne Johnson made on, like, why he chose Black Adam, and he really was just like, it's his favorite character of all time. Like, do you believe that?
No.
I think that's wrestler talk. He's like, he's always been my favorite.
I think they looked at who could you be.
Right.
And that was...
He mentioned that this was a character that started as a slave, and he likes this... They're really pointing to this anti-hero idea, and, like, he's the kind of person more like a Punisher character than a villain character.
God, even someone like Hercules. Right. It was The Rock as Hercules. It wasn't Hercules.
Well, that wasn't a good movie, though.
Still. I know that, but still, it's an example of a literary character that...
Yeah.
You know?
It's a good point, though, and I think... Yeah, I like I think that there's been so many different versions of Shazam and Captain Marvel. This wasn't even originally a DC property.
It right. Was like this was kind of
Fawcett like Fawcett Comics, and they acquired it, right?
You know what this almost seems like to me? This almost seems like a Edgar Wright Ant-Man thing, where he'd been doing that before Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man came along. It was a project they wanted to do. They tried to fold it into the Marvel universe that it is now, and that's where Edgar Wright's like, the film I want to make is not this.
Yes.
I think their Black Adam, which they were going to make 3-4 years ago, is not now part of this.
Yes.
But you don't want to say no to The Rock. You don't want to piss him off. You don't want him to not do your Warner Brothers films anymore. So he's, you know, they're kind of like, we're going to get you in there soon, Dwayne. We're going to put your film in there. And he's like, I know. Eyebrow up and stuff. That's my terrible Rock impersonation.
Anyway. He did. Someone just said, he concluded that saying that it was his favorite here. But he was also up for Lobo. I
would see Lobo more than I would see Black Adam. Throw some prosthetics on him. I could see Lobo. I would go for that more than... Because that's almost an out there character.
Tom Hardy should be Lobo.
No.
Definitely.
Nope. Tom Hardy should have been Rick Flag. I'll say that right now.
Boy, that would have been a waste of Tom Hardy, and he knew it. That's why he didn't want to do it.
That's why.
That's totally why. He's like,
Rick Flag did almost nothing.
Do you think he would do... Wait, do you think he was blowing smoke up everyone's...
Yeah.
By saying, I was like, I really wanted to do it, but I couldn't work it out.
Yes. Yes.
Mainly it was more like, this is shit? I don't want to be part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, all right.
Tom Hardy picks incredible projects, man. That guy's got an amazing track record.
He's someone I could see coming into the DC universe.
Okay, so also there was a little bit of Batman v Superman trivia that came out this week. Zack Snyder.
Little trivia.
Zack Snyder's hands were actually in the Fight Club scene in Batman.
He
v
was
Superman.
Bruce Wayne's hand on the phone flipping yeah. it over.
That's honestly one of my favorite scenes in the movie because I like the part when Bruce Wayne like leans into the guy and tells him something, and then he just like ends the fight in the next blow.
And I love the fact like part of me was kind of like, why is he all dressed up in a suit looking Bruce Wayne-ish, but Bruce Wayne would be sleazy enough to go to a flight club. The Bruce Wayne that they've created would have been like that kind of guy that liked to see that stuff.
It's like moments like that. I was like, oh yeah, that was a really cool moment.
Yeah,
like
it was
that
great.
Was a really, really cool kind of thing to be in there. All right, well, that's pretty much all the movie news that we have so far. I mean, listen, the news will be coming, guys. Fast and Furious over the next couple of months. We're gonna see just where the DCEU is and is going, and I hope that you keep joining us week after week. Myself, Adam Gertler, Mike Kalinowski, Roxy Stryer, great guests like Kageyama. Kageyama.
Just a badass name.
Johnny Lombardo.
That's just
so
a badass name, dude.
Tom Hardy for the new Logan Wolverine.
And I'm Mike Kalinowski, you know.
Yeah. But finally, we should pay homage to a little bit of Roxy Stryer.
Of the crown jewel.
Yeah.
We call her she's our crown jewel. Yeah.
So
she's not here and I miss her.
Yeah. I don't even know if we know in the booth it's
she's
time
all
to,
still she's
yeah.
all still
it's time for
because I had my she had my balls.
The Christmas balls.
Yes.
The Christmas
she
balls.
She had them and that's why she's not here anymore.
It's time for Roxy Stryer's TV time, ladies and gentlemen.
It's time for Roxy Stryer's TV time. Sing along with me this time. Roxy Stryer's TV time. There we go.
Sing along with me this time. Roxy Stryer's TV time. She thinks that the Flash is fine. DC movie news, it's time to talk. TV time!
That's for you, Crown Jewel. That's for you, Crown Jewel.
Canucks fan wants to know, is Adam drunk? Well, isn't that ever the question?
On love.
Yeah.
I love to love and find you. That's that James Brown interview. You ever see that where he's drunk?
Oh, no.
James Brown? Do yourselves a favor, YouTube. Go look up James Brown Wasted interview. It is 10 minutes of gloriousness.
That's one interview, specifically.
Oh, God, it's fantastic.
That sounds incredible. I'm going to be checking that out.
Oh, God.
So, Jeff Johns...
came out of nowhere.
Yeah, this came out of nowhere. He teased a new DC TV show that he's excited about.
Because he put a lot of things on the new year. He's going to be writing a
top
new
five.
Comic.
He did a
yeah,
top
five Twitter thing. One of was that he's going to come back to comics writing. And then this other big one is a new show.
Yeah.
Now, what I want to know is, why is he not coming forward to help Ben out and talk and help cover Ben? Why?
Well, that's a really good question, Mike.
I don't understand that. Why isn't he coming to the rescue?
Well, because maybe all is not in, all is not paradise over there. It's kind of weird.
Nah.
It's a little weird.
I don't want to talk about it.
He has a... John's have a he has a lot under his belt.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If he's got TV, he's talking comics now, and he's also
under his belt or on his plate or both.
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 Yeah,
I
agree.
Said that wrong.
No, we got the gist, buddy. We got the gist.
I don't know if I was looking too into it, but when I saw that top five tweets, I definitely thought like
we're gonna get
this guy's definitely not like. DC's Kevin Feige. Like, you know.
No, that
like,
was a...
If anybody thought that, because that's a full-time job.
I think, like, as in Feige, he really has no control over the comics or TV. Even the TV, he really has no say over. That's Jeff Loeb and those guys.
Yeah.
I think Johns is DC
yeah.
property.
He's DC property guy.
He's everything. Yeah. I think he's got some hands with Injustice going on, the game.
Yeah.
I think he talks to the guys in animation.
I think they want him to be the guy that kind of brings the whole tone under the same umbrella and all this stuff, but he's not the green light, red light producer guy.
No.
That Feige
which
is.
We probably, I know I was a little mistaken on.
Yeah, I think we all just like were really just hoping that somebody was going to like grab the reins and like tell us what was going on, and we were excited about the fact that it'd be such an insider
but
to do that.
That also could be why we have so many problems. I know. I'm sorry, we're going off TV time real quick.
I know.
But where like Wonder Woman goes forward, Aquaman's going forward, but Ben's having problems on Batman because there's not that one guy going. So you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this. We're putting all in this. They're letting the directors,
yeah,
do their thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Back anyway, to TV Town. I'm so, sorry. I digressed.
So some people think it's going to be Black Lightning. What do you guys think? Do you guys have any opinions? What show you think is going to be coming up here?
I don't want to see a Black Lightning.
You don't?
I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I did. You just said that. I was like, oh, that would be cool.
Well, I think that was rumored before, and I think...
I would say... I'm going to go with you guys on that one. I think it is going...
rumored it, and honestly, wouldn't it make sense? I mean...
I think it will definitely be some kind of ethnic lead role.
Because on those
shows, we don't have any.
Not a
Legends,
single one.
Legends has ethnic diversity characters, but it is not an ethnically diverse led cast. And I think that's what they're going with. So whatever it is, it's going to be that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that makes sense.
And again, smart marketing, because it'll bring a whole other quadrant of viewers in.
Yes, so much Berlantiverse. This guy.
They're smart.
Congratulations to Greg Berlanti. Dude just got engaged.
Did he?
Yeah. He just got engaged and...
That guy's living the life, man. He's living the life of a geek, man.
Dude, good for him. Killing me. That guy's killing me.
I see, buddy, Canucks fan, the question, buddy, I'm up with you on that one. I would love a question TV series.
Nightwing would be a great one. The Human Target, that was the coolest thing that happened this year on DC TV, I think. Did you see that, Arrow?
He's one of my favorite characters. I was a little disappointed in the way they dealt with him.
Oh, you didn't like it?
The handling of it was a little weird.
Not as familiar with the character. I just thought it was kind of cool that the guy
But it was
showed
great
up.
That
he's
he showed
like,
up.
Yeah, I just sat there and got assassinated, and here you go, and I learned this about this, and peace.
But I just think that was something that Oliver Queen himself could have done. Put the bulletproof vest on, take the bullet.
Yeah.
It was...
True. Yeah.
But I like that they've established him in the world
They
now.
Just wanted to get him out there.
Yeah.
And then finally, we got some interesting news at Legends of Tomorrow, which is, I think, still my... current favorite.
I love it.
DC
it
TV
is such
show.
A good. It's the most comic booky of them all.
It also, yeah, it just doesn't get mired down in itself as much. And it feels like it's easy for enough to be going on that it's always going somewhere else in that sort of Doctor Who-ish kind of way.
It does have a Doctor Who-ish feel. You think so?
Yeah.
And Quantum Leap-ish kind of, it's a fun kind of thing. And yet it can jump back and then participate with the current characters because it's a timey-wimey show.
Right.
It can do that all the time.
A timey-wimey.
My friend Kat says timey-wimey, so that was a shout-out to her. She's a big Doctor Who fan. And she's like, because of timey-wimey, this happened. When she's like helping me explain things to me that happened on Doctor Who, because I'm like, I don't get it sometimes. So... George Lucas is going to be a character on Legends of Tomorrow. He's already... Star Wars has been referenced before.
Have you read how he's going to be used? I think it's phenomenal. They're trying to...
Yeah.
Something happens to him and it affects the team because...
He doesn't go to film school.
Rey doesn't go into science.
Right.
The Commander Steele...
Yeah.
Doesn't go into archaeology because these characters that...
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
And I was
like, that's how we are. Like, I grew... Like, Temple of Doom was the movie that made me want to be an actor. Seeing that movie.
Oh my god, I'm so glad you say that. Temple of Doom doesn't get enough
credit. Oh my god,
everybody craps on Temple of Doom.
I love Temple of Doom.
Nam Shivayam.
It's better than Last Crusade.
Nam Shivayam.
It's better than Last Crusade.
Like,
but
such a good trilogy.
It's such a great concept. Like, George Lucas is a real person.
Yeah.
And the fact that it affects their lives... I think that's so cool.
Some people will say that's when Quantum Leap jumped the shark, when they started to incorporate real historic people in the later seasons.
Okay.
But I like this. This is not, it's not the same thing.
I mean, is it all right for them to keep, because, Star Wars is Disney, and, they keep doing these Star Wars references on the Flash.
But I think it's
because
it's pop culture. I think it's because it's the lexicon.
It's
you can
so
use
big
it.
That it actually transcends. I mean, listen, Star Wars was Star Wars before it was Disney. And
yeah,
I think that you don't get to take it away from everybody. It really inspired all these people that are doing these comics
Everyone.
And writing these shows. So it's everybody gets to invoke it. They talked about it on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season. And they talked about it on Legends. They've mentioned, I think it was on Legends, but it's been plenty of references. And then I think we have, what was this? A Canucks, Swamp Thing I would like to see Constantine.
You love Swamp Thing.
I want Swamp Thing, but I want to see Swamp Thing on the theater. I think that's when the Dark Justice League thing happens, we're going to get a
great
of, Swamp Thing.
Speaking of appearances we got coming up, Mr. Mitzelplick is coming on Supergirl.
Oh, that's exciting.
And I want it, I could be so wrong, but I thought it was cast and it was Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh,
I could
God,
be completely
he played
off
him
my
on,
rocker.
He played him on an animated series, I think.
Is that what I'm thinking of it from?
Yeah, because
I
listen to his podcast all the time, and he said he played it. But if they actually cast him,
sworn
he
was
could
cast
still play
as
it. It would be hilarious.
Going back to the Swamp Thing, I think it was Joseph Kahn.
Mm-hmm.
He did that weird Power / Rangers kind of.
Oh, he's a director. He directs music videos. Yeah,
I was
Joseph
on
Kahn.
His Vimeo the other day, and I seen like a CGI swamp thing.
Oh.
Like
he
was
doing
like
a test?
Was that the test when he was walking from the Justice League Dark thing?
Yeah, I don't know what it was for, but I just remember when you brought up something. I was like, oh, I've seen that. So who knows what that was for?
That'll be interesting.
I wonder if there was a test
because he does fan stuff. That says like his own thing that takes. I don't know. You're the Swamp Thing guy, champ, not me.
I'm excited to see Swamp Thing back, and I know Justice League Dark is coming out really soon, like right next week.
The
or
animated.
Something.
Is it
the
next? Animated? No, it's not. Is it next week? I want to say they're always in February. I'll look it up right now. You talk, buddy. I'll find out.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us for this special late night Wednesday night episode brought to you by Blue Apron. Put yourself over, guys, please. Corey?
My name is Corey Gibson. Gibson Kageyama on Twitter. Gibson Kage on Twitter.
All right. I'm Adam Gertler. He's at Mike Kalinowski, and we'll see you next time.
February 7th, Justice League Dark.
February 7th!
Animated.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.